Psalm chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Say, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the creator of heavens and earth, we exalt thy mighty name, O Lord. Lord, there is no other name that is given for the salvation of your children. The only name, the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for the name that you have given to every one of us standing here today. And because of the name, O Lord, that we are all delivered from the captivity of the filthiness of this world. Because of the name, O Lord, that we are all separated from the darkness and the lack of understanding of this world. Thank you, Lord, for that name. Thy name is our exceedingly great reward, O Lord. We have received your name because you call all of us back to the house. You reconciled us, O Lord. You found us. We were lost, but you found us, O Lord. You redeemed us, O Lord. You paid the price for what we did. Our sins and iniquities, our disobedience and our rebellion, Lord. Everything you crushed at the feet that was preaching the gospel of peace on Calvary. You died for our sins. You shed the blood. You were sweating and you were bleeding and you were crying. You were walking, O Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to be always grateful of what you did on the cross. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our life because we are alive and we are alive in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our life because we have gathered and we are all blessed, O Lord. You have created us in soul, in spirit and body as a whole. And thank you, Lord, for assembling us as a whole for the glory of thy name. And you met all those who were sick physically, spiritually, mentally, and you call them and you ask them, do you want to be made whole? And Lord, when they said yes, only then you healed them. You did not heal them before they said, because, oh Lord, you want that heart of willingness, heart of acceptance. You want that free will to submit to thy perfect will. Blessed be your holy name, oh Lord. May this be a beautiful day in our life where we are all, oh Lord, able to surrender ourselves at thy feet and humbly accept, O Lord, thy mighty hand to continue to mold us. We are nothing but the clay in thy mighty hand, O Lord. We want to remain as a clay. By the living water, you are molding us. You are making us into something, not to be someone whom we want, that is abomination, that is Babylon, but to be something that you want, that is blessedness, O Lord, that is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all the loved ones in our family. Not the loud ones of the world, that is philia, but the agape, O Lord. The same love that you loved us first, those loud ones, O Lord. The chosen ones, called ones, separated ones by the Redeemer, by the Deliverer, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for the church of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of God. And all our dear brethren who are joining us from different corners of the world. And Lord, at this point of time, in the name of the Lord, we are all seated in the heavenly places under one roof of the Lord's righteousness, sitting on the foundation of truth, surrounded by the wall of fire, by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We offer everything at thy feet for you to help us to grow, to be conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, I surrender the sermon for the glory of the name of the Lord alone. In Jesus' name, we all prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank the Lord for the safe journey I reached yesterday. And I thank the Lord I was able to join the prayer gathering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And today we will continue the fourth part of the sermon series, Prison Gate. Last sermon, we focused on the city called Anathoth from the land of Benjamin. The land was called the land of Benjamin. The city was called city of Anathoth. And Jeremiah was uttering, responding, shouting, crying, praying towards the land of Judah, Jerusalem. But actually he was standing in the land of Benjamin. So today we will dive deep into what is the city of Anathoth and why Joshua divided the cities and why Moses could not divide because he could not enter the promised land. But Moses was the one who drew the territory of the promised land. From the Mount Nebo, the Lord gave him the sight, the vision for him to see. And Moses drew the map of Israel, but it was Joshua who divided the land as inheritance to the tribes of Israel. Amen. From now on, as we will focus on the land and cities, I want you all to remember the feet washing and communion that we had. Amen. Remember, it was a single bread. Everybody came forward with your willingness because it was not fed to you, because we did not want to force. Nobody want to force communion. It must be taken, which is the resemblance of God's blessings would not be fed. It is always there. If you want, you move your flesh and go and take it. We can't go and tell the Lord, you force. Spoon feeding is not grace and mercy. It is there. We have to exercise our faith. So, when a single piece of bread that represents the body of Christ was shared across the parts of the word that represents there is only one word of God and we are all part of Him, and we proclaim everything, the death of the Lord, our Savior on the cross, and also the spiritual prefiguration of how we are all created by Him, in Him, for Him, through Him. So when we take a small piece, let's say there are 50 people, can we be so sure that everyone take inch precisely the same amount of bread? It's impossible. If you look at your finger, we all have different size of finger. When the priest or the servant of God holding the bread, when you come and take a piece from the plate, depends on the way you break the piece, depends on the way you hold the bread, you will get the peace. When the Bible says the Lord has given us a portion of His faith to us, we are all not equal in our physical sense, in our mental sense, in our psychological sense. We are all uniquely beautiful. Nobody is low, nobody is high, but we are all distinct. We are all made fearfully, wonderfully by the hand of God. Not to be like plastic chairs, all same, can't differentiate. But people with emotions, feelings, love, strength, weakness, intellect, we have so much skills, but not the same. At the same time, our faith level is also not the same. Because we are not the small piece of rice that is boiled in the same furnace. Because we have different valleys, different experience, different age. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient to thee. That word sufficient is common. Which means whatever it takes For a shepherd to keep the sheep inside the safe haven, it has been given to you. It is not that it will be given to you. The Lord says, I have already given to you. So we live our life in the assurance that I don't have to be someone that I am not. I don't have to transform into something that I am not supposed to in order for you to enter into heaven. It's not true. All we have to do is find yourself in Christ. Who you are in Christ and what the Lord made you, how the Lord made you, how He formed you, redeemed you, called you. We just live our life to find our very own self in Christ, in the Word of God. It is a hidden jewel. It is not something that is going to be created tomorrow. So in this process of us living by faith, living in Christ, living for Christ, the Lord is revealing Himself to us. But if He is the bread of life, if you are the pot, when He reveals Himself, don't you see, you also understand who you are. So who I am, Lord? Our names will be erased. Your whatever that you achieved in this world will mean nothing. Then you will realize the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I understood I'm a creation. There is one who created me and He died for me on the cross and I live my life for Him. If you look at this understanding, it is common for every one of us. Amen. There is nothing more, nothing less. It is common for every one of us. My grace is sufficient to thee. But the way if we look at our life, I'm pretty sure among all of us today, some of you are happy, some of you are neutral, some of you are sad, some of you are thinking about someone whom you love who is suffering some sickness, some of you are rejoicing because someone whom you love, they have done some victorious attempts in their life. You have mixed emotions, mixed feelings, mixed thoughts. Right now, as I speak, we are all not the same. So how can a single sermon can feed all 50 who come with 50 different flavors? Dry, thirsty land. We just sang a song. Dry, thirsty land. Do you know what it means? If I take a dry sponge and throw it in the ocean, the sponge will not wait. It will absorb the water as quick as it can because it is dry. If I soak the very same sponge in oil and throw it in the ocean, it can't absorb any water because it is already filled with a different liquid. Whenever the high priest was called to enter into the holy presence of God, the Lord says, I want to listen to the way you walk. Because from the way we walk, God can discern, He understands what thoughts you are carrying in your heart. Spiritually, in your life as a living sacrifice. In our life, if the Lord has called all of us, I gave my life to you. And I am the bread of life and you are eating me, you are drinking me into my spirit. We are partakers of the heavenly calling. We are partakers of the heavenly altar. We are partakers of God's building. We are part of everything that He does, everything He spoke. Amen. So now, when the land was given to Israel, the name Israel represents Jacob. Jacob is a person. But when the land was divided, do you think Joshua divided precisely every single square feet was equally divided by 12? No. It was divided in a way the Lord wanted it to be divided. It was small and big. It was up and down. Some lands had valleys. Some lands had mountains. The children of God cannot say anything other than receive what was allocated for them in the promised land. Not by compulsion, not by grumpy heart, but by the faith that God who delivered me from the land of Egypt, God who delivered me from the paths of death and darkness, He knows what is the best that can happen to me. He knows what is the best that can be given to me, and that is the definition of inheritance. Those 12 tribes of Israel, they divided the land that was given to the children of Israel. Joshua divided. There were 48 cities allocated for Levites. Just for the Levites, 48. So now, if we bring all of this into our life, together they became one single promised land. Amen? If they start dividing each other, they'll become divided kingdom. Kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. But in the beginning, there was only one name, Israel. Imagine, in the wilderness, when Moses was leading the multitudes of people, suddenly someone arise from the tribe of Judah and say, from now on, we will be called kingdom of Judah, Moses would kill them. I'm not joking. He did that. Moses would eliminate them. Why? Moses was completely under the Shekinah glory of God on the top of the mountain. Every time he comes down, either he bless or he judge. Have you noticed that? Most of the time, it is better for Moses to stay on the top of the mountain. If people see him coming down, he will do either one. One, he will bless them, or he will judge them. Every time he comes down, there was always a bloodshed. 3,000, 24,000, 14,700. You should not forget these numbers, because the Bible records these numbers. So which means, the land was divided among the tribes of Israel. When Jesus Christ was crucified, what happened to his garment? They cast lots to divide his garments to take one piece for each. But was it given to them? No, they took it. There's a difference between taken and given. Amen? You exercise your force to take something. That is not the way of God's divine perfect will. It is given. Grace is not taken. It's given. Mercy is not taken. It's given. Love is given. It is more blessed to give than to receive, right? But if there is no one to receive, what will you give? So now, I just wanted to establish this context of bread of life, splitted, divided across one congregation. Keep this in your mind. Now, bread of life, one single piece of bread and one single piece of land. Let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Moses may die, but the name of Moses would live throughout the Bible. Have you noticed that? From Genesis, he wrote the book, Exodus, all the way to Acts and all, Moses cannot be killed. So the Lord calls a name, cities of refuge. What is this word refuge? The day or the time that we live in, the refuge means refugees or hostages or people, immigrants who are cast or thrown from one nation to another nation. They have to be accepted. They have to be given some land for them to hide or find asylum, or whatever. The word refuge is a complete opposite to citizens, or those who natively have the power or inheritance to dwell in a land. The word refuge means you are a tenant. You are there for a short or a temporary time. The Lord speaks to Joshua, appoint out for you cities of refuge. So the Lord says, appoint. If you notice, Joshua was a very unique character in the Bible. The way the Lord dealt with him, Moses called Joshua and told Joshua, you choose out men by yourself and go to the battle with Amalekites, and I will go to the mountain to pray with Aaron and Hur. But Moses did not choose the men. He told Joshua to choose the men. Now the Lord tells Joshua, appoint out for you cities of refuge. So Moses tells Joshua, choose out men. Now God tells Joshua, appoint cities. Men, cities. Amen? You could see the resemblance of a man and a land, you know, going together in hand. Verse 3 says, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So now the explanation is given why it is called the cities of refuge. Someone who has that danger in his life or is vulnerable to be killed by someone who is running with revenge, who is running with, you know, with rage and anger to kill him. The slayers. And in order for that person to finish his life, he needs a city of refuge where there are strict laws and orders that revenge cannot enter. So they can go and hide there. But in order for them to go and hide there, there must be a decree. There must be a, you know, official order should be given from a ruler of the land or a king. But that time, the times of Joshua, was there a king? No. Because Samuel has to come. Without Samuel, there is no kings of Israel. A single prophet needs to anoint Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Then to anoint David from the tribe of Judah. He anointed two kings, my brethren, not one. Prophet Samuel anointed two kings, not one. One after another. Without Prophet Samuel, kingdom of Israel would not begin. One single prophet standing in the gap. Imagine the power of one man who is filled with the Spirit of God. We have to understand all of this to understand who is Jeremiah. Why he is always kind of an underestimated prophet. You won't hear of him very frequently because he wrote the book of Lamentations, not Psalms. That's why. Nobody wants to read Lamentations when you get up in the morning. But the more you love God, you will read Lamentations more than Psalms. So now you see Joshua has a task in his hand to divide the cities. Verse 4 says, and when he that doth flee unto one of those cities, anyone, as long as one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city. Gate. Wow. Imagine the city is a prison and there's a gate to the prison. And if this man is successfully able to enter into the gate, he can escape from those who want to take a revenge against him, isn't it? Have you seen in different countries, politicians or people who are criminals, they would intentionally go to jail because there is no other safe place for them. I'm not joking, I'm sure you all know that. What place has hundreds of police officers guarding the house, 24/7 on duty, you don't have to pay them, and you'll get 3 meals a day? Prison. Best place for you to hide if someone wants to kill you. You don't have to pay. There are many criminals who live happily inside the prison because they're the safest haven that they could find. So now, remember this and read the next verse. It says, and the same verse, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. Ears. So he must explain the reason, the cause, why he is coming into the city. Then shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That he may dwell among them as one of their own. Like a man undercover who can live a normal life, but actually he is not a normal man, but he came from a different place. So now verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, so now someone is bloodthirsty, want to taste his blood, want to kill him, if you want to pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. So this man has become a liability of the city which adopts him or which receives him. They have to protect him. Because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. Verse 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. Which means, this man has to be preserved until he can stand before the day of judgment. So what is the reason for the preservation? For him to be intact for the perfect judgment. Not to be corrupted by the imperfect judgment of men or the wrath of men. No, before the course. And until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. This strikes my heart so deeply. Out of nowhere, absolutely out of nowhere, when we are reading the words of slayers and bloodthirsty avenger of blood and these kind of words, suddenly there is a condition, a legal clause comes in saying, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, whoever was ordained by the Lord Almighty to be the high priest in those days, until the death of that person, this man has to follow these restrictions. Because there was no king those times. Isn't it? We are reading book of Joshua. No kings. We still have to cross the bridge of Judges, then cross the bridge of Samuel to reach the kingdom of Israel. So high priest must die to define a change in the life of that man who found a refuge, a city of refuge. Now, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. 6 verses explains the reason why the Lord wanted city of refuge to be there, to be appointed. And Joshua was given the responsibility to appoint the city of refuge. So now, I want us to just keep the tribe of Benjamin territory image ready. Just keep it ready. Now I want us to remember last sermon I mentioned Jacob, the man whose name was changed to Israel, he blessed his 12 sons as a father, as a servant of God. Because imagine Jacob says, oh, I love my 12 sons. Without these 12 sons, my life is nothing. I'm going to love you in my philia means nothing. Nothing will fulfill. Jacob had to bless his 12 sons as Israel, who was named by God Almighty, as a servant of God, as a child of God. Only then the blessings of Jacob will rest upon the 12 children. Why? There is only one who is blessed. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Only he can bless. And only through his name we can bless one another. My blessing to you, nothing. Your blessing to me, nothing. It has to be in the name of the Lord. So when Jacob blessed the 12 sons, he blessed them as children of God. And he blessed them being the child of God. Genesis chapter 49. So let's go there. Before we understand, the cities of refuge were not for enemies. Am I right? The cities of refuge were not appointed for enemies. It was appointed for our children of God themselves. So why? Why they reached such a state? So that we can go back to Jeremiah with this understanding. Chapter 49. I want 2 brothers to be the voice. One who represent Moses. One who represent Jacob. So maybe Brother Ingfan and Brother Clement can help me with that. Brother Clement can read this for us. Chapter 49. From verse 1 to 7, and Brother Ingfan, please be prepared with Deuteronomy 33. I will just call the verses. I want you all to see this beautiful difference.
Genesis 49,
chapter 1,
verse 1 to 7.
Yes, please.
And Jacob called his son and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn. My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are my brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united in their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel.
Amen. You please be seated, brother. So, in the first 7 verses, we have 3 sons of Jacob covered by the blessing of Jacob, or the words of Jacob. I would just call him as Israel. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, and the excellence of dignity, and the excellence of power. Reuben must be feel puffed up. Ah, firstborn. No. It takes to be a firstborn. I'm also a firstborn. But Reuben cannot be impatient because Jacob has not finished speaking. Verse 4 was like something that tells Reuben, you are supposed to be this. But because verse 4, unstable as water. Now, was Jacob praising Reuben? No, he's rebuking him. Thou shalt not excel. But verse 3 says, excellency of dignity, the beginning of my strength, and the excellency of power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Reuben must be dancing as he was listening to this beautiful word from Jacob. But Jacob says, you were supposed to be all of this, being my firstborn, but because of you, unstable as a water, you shall not excel. Thou shall not excel. So when Jacob, the man who is called Israel, when he speaks these words, when the Spirit of God is resting upon his life, don't you think it would be nothing but prophesy? Because he speaks in spirit. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, it went up to my couch. Anyone remembers another son who did the same mistake? Absalom. That is why how serious it was when Absalom listened to the evil counsel of someone who really thought that he is doing good to him, God had to allow him to be killed by Joab himself. And David was crying because Absalom defiled the father's bed by abusing the concubines of David. In one single verse, Israel ends the boasting of Reuben for life, because all 11 listens to what the father spoke about Reuben. So, Reuben, thou shall not excel. Correct? One single word. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. We will be going back and forth. Deuteronomy 33 and Genesis 49. So keep your Bible, in those two pages. Deuteronomy 33, brother, read the blessing that was given to Reuben, spoken by Moses.
Verse 6, brother.
Yes, verse 6.
Deuteronomy 33, verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few.
Amen. One single verse, Moses speaks. I'm not writing all 12 here. I'm going to only write 4. Okay? Because no space. But I'm covering Reuben first. Jacob says, Reuben, thou shalt not excel. And Moses says, let Reuben live. Do you see mercy here? Let him live. He deserves to live. He's a child of God. Let him live. It is okay not to excel, but live. The problem with our lives sometimes is we want to excel. We want to do something great. But the Lord says, remain alive first. Think about life. Be grateful. Be thankful. You are alive today. There are many people who are not alive. Let Reuben live. And book of Genesis, God says, let there be light. Let Reuben live. What is the difference? Nothing. Let there be light, and there was light. And Moses blessed Reuben, let Reuben live, and Reuben lived. It's a blessing. Because God, he moves his anointing from one leader to another leader. It has to come from him. If Moses did not bless Reuben, nobody can bless Reuben. That is why when King Saul was trying to kill David, God did not do anything to King Saul. King Saul threw the javelin, David escaped. King Saul was so angry to kill David, God did not do anything to King Saul. Until when King Saul crossed the territory, when he rent the clothes of Prophet Samuel, and God said, time's up. Your kingdom will be divided. You know why? When two kings fight for the throne, it becomes survival of the fittest. You are playing in your own game. It's okay. King David is a new king. King Saul is the old king. But King David cannot become king until Saul dies. So there is a fight between two kings for power. And David had to be in silence wisely to escape from King Saul. It's okay. God did not do anything to King Saul. But when King Saul crossed the line of being a king and went and rent the clothes of a prophet, that is where he made a terrible mistake. Same thing happened to King Uzziah. Why? He thought, of course I'm King Uzziah, but I want to be High Priest Azariah. And High Priest Azariah said, that is my territory. Why you want to jump into God's territory? Only if the high priest can offer sacrifices. King Uzziah said, I'm a king. I can do it. Leprosy broke from his forehead to expose the nakedness of his lack of understanding. A king misplaced his feet from his position being a king, wanted to become a high priest. He died as a leper. A king who was anointed by God Almighty by his prophet Samuel, he rent the cloth of Samuel because of emotions. He didn't mean to harm Samuel. King Saul loves Prophet Samuel. Nobody is denying that. He loved Prophet Samuel. But his emotions took over of him. He rent the clothes. And Prophet Samuel had to curse him on the spot. A king cursed by prophet, a king cursed by high priest. Now, City of Refuge said, until the high priest dies, this man cannot go to his own city, cannot go to his own house, cannot go to his own family. Joshua 20, keep this in your mind. So now let Reuben live. Let him live. Now, Brother Ringfan will be reading the words of Moses. Brother Clement will be reading the words of Jacob. So remember, that's why I want two voices, or else we'll be confused. So now Reuben is going to live. So praise the Lord. But Brother Clement was reading one more person, Simeon and Levi. Chapter 49, brother, please read verse 5 to 7 again. And Brother Ringfan, you please be prepared with 33:8.
Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united in their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel.
Amen. Beautiful name given by Israel to Simeon and Levi, and the irony is, he did not even separate them when he blessed them. He put them together as one single bucket. Why? They went together to take revenge for Sister Dina. Correct? Because they agreed together as one, Israel cursed them as one. We have to understand when the book of Matthew says, where there are two or more agree in the name of the Lord, gather in the name of the Lord dwells in the midst of them. That is for the blessed state. Which means the double-edged sword will also deal with us in the same way in the state of being cursed. Because these two brothers did not seek the counsel of the father, they ran to take revenge against what happened to their sister. So when Israel cursed them or blessed them, either way you can call it, but he bundled them as one. As one. Simeon and Levi, they were blessed together as one. Simeon and Levi are brethren. See, when you hear this, for example, I say, me and my friend, we are friends. Oh, good. But after you heard what Israel spoke, you would see, I wish I was not a brother to him. I wish I was not a friend to him. That is how fierce the words of Israel was. It says, instruments of cruelty. So I'm focusing on Levi. So Israel gave a name to Levi, instruments of cruelty. And from that tribe, we have Moses and Aaron. instruments of cruelty? Can you call them? If you call them in the wilderness, you will be burned to death by God Almighty. One was high priest, one was leader of Israel. Time. The time between Israel and Moses. What happened here? 33 verse 8. Deuteronomy 33 verse 8. Let's hear from Moses how he sees Levi.
Deuteronomy 33 verse 8. And of Levi he said, let your Tumim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers, or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your judgments, and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you, and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him, and of those who hate him, that they rise not again.
So, we could see both the brothers are extremely opposite. Brother Clement is very partial about Levi, and Brother Infant is also very partial about Levi, because they are speaking extremely two different characteristics of one single tribe. Israel says instruments of cruelty, but Moses says, let the Urim and Tumim be with you, and you will teach Jacob the statutes. What? You were cursed by Jacob in Genesis 49. Look at the verse done. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments. Who is Jacob? Israel. They will teach Jacob thy judgment. Who will understand the word judgment better? The one who was judged before. Correct? The one who was punished before would understand the pain of punishment. Then he would have the burden, I don't want others to be punished like what happened to me. So Levi had 5 verses of blessings in Deuteronomy 33 and 3 verses of curse in Genesis 49. And the most beautiful one in the blessing that was given to Levi in Deuteronomy 33 is verse 9. Who said unto his father, unto his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. And God says, there is nothing better you can do. Observe the word, kept thy covenant. That is the word given for Levi by Moses. So, I would just write 2 words, word and covenant. It's a striking transformation from being instruments of cruelty in Genesis 49, because Levi was a single man. He became a tribe because of the captivity in Egypt. The man Levi became a tribe because of 430 years of captivity in Egypt. They became multiplied, right? So, being fruitful had its consequence. So now, we covered Levi. Now, let's go to Judah. Brother Clement, please read about Judah from Genesis 49, verse 8 to 12. Judah.
Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea.
No, that's all.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. So, Beautiful words spoken about Judah in Genesis 49. Because Judah was standing in the gap for his brothers in an important time. For that single reason, he was blessed by Israel at the later stage. But I want you to focus on the words that Israel blessed. How Israel blessed Judah. The words, praise. The brethren shall praise. Of course, today, during the worship, we all praised the line of Judah. Praise. All praise, all worship, all honor, glory given to the line of Judah, Jesus Christ. Amen. So all praise given to him. And the hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Which Judah Israel is blessing? The man Judah or the line of Judah who will be coming? The seed who will be coming from Judah. Bow down. We are called to bow down before only one, the Holy One. Judah is a lion's whelp. So the words, lion, scepter, and vine. Correct? These are the words that we observe from these verses of the blessing from Israel. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy is very strict. Only one verse for Judah. Verse 7, brother. Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. Please read, brother, in front. Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. Let's hear from Moses how he sees Judah.
Verse 7. And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against his enemies.
Amen. Please be seated. There is a similarity. Israel says, thy hand will be in the neck of thine enemies. Amen. Genesis 49. Deuteronomy 33 says, the hand will be sufficient. So, the voice of Judah and the hand of Judah. Do you see? The voice of Judah and the hand of Judah. Only two words in a single verse blessed by Moses in Deuteronomy 33. Now, let's move on to Joseph. Genesis 49 must have a long love letter of blessing to Joseph because those 12 brothers, including Joseph and Jacob and the family of Jacob, around 70, they cannot see another day if there was no Joseph. So, Joseph will have a longer portion of blessing. It is obvious. So, 49 verse 22 to 26. Yes, brother.
Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough to by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. But his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel.
Amen.
By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lies beneath. Blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the outmost bound of the everlasting hill. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers.
And on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. So, the key words that we see from these blessings are fruitful, branch, bough that was made to be strong, and the crown on the head he was made separate from his brethren because he was hated. So this is how Israel blessed Joseph. And let's see how Moses blessed Joseph. Deuteronomy 33, verse 13 to 17. Deuteronomy 33, verse 13 to 17.
Verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew, and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth, and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of his of the head of him who was separate from his brothers.
Amen.
His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them, he shall push the peoples to the end of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh.
What a beautiful reflection of the same blessing that was written in Genesis 49 is simply rehearsed again in Deuteronomy 33. And here it says, verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Again, separated. If Joseph represents the savior of the 70 in Genesis, and Jesus Christ represents the savior of all of us in the New Testament, he was also separated when he was arrested. Everybody forsook and fled him. And he was hated the same way Joseph was hated. And he was separated, and a crown of thorns was placed on his head, which was supposed to be the King of Kings, the glory of Jesus Christ. He had his own crown, but people put their own crown on his head to insult him. So now verse 17 says, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of the unicorns. With them he shall push. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Genesis, Joseph draws people. He did not push them. Remember, he was in a place that he was. God exalted him next to King Pharaoh. And he sent an invitation. And God spoke to Jacob, the father. And all the family of Joseph, they came to Egypt. And he gave them the land of Goshen. That is how they survived. Or else they would have been destroyed. They survived. So Joseph became like an Ark of Noah for the family of Jacob to enter into him. That was Joseph drawing people. But Moses says Joseph will push. Look at this word. He shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. He will push them to be together to the ends of the earth. And they are 10,000 of Ephraim, and there are thousands of Manasseh. And we know how these two children were also blessed by Jacob. And Joseph was not happy. He proved that he is a man in flesh. He was disappointed by the way his father blessed his two sons. But yet he could not deceive his father. So now, so far in these three different sets of blessings, the only person who stay constant is Joseph. Correct? No change. Glory, land, head, crown. Fruitful, branch, bough, crown. Judah, praise, lion, scepter, wine. The voice of Judah, hand of Judah, has been mentioned explicitly in the blessing of Moses because it's a preparation for Jesus to come. So now, Levi is the most day and night comparison of the word spoken by Israel and the word spoken by Moses. We can say, Moses, you are from Levi. No, you're so biased. You bless your own tribe. That's why I said, when Moses blessed, he don't bless them as Levi. He blessed them as Moses, who was called near the holy mountain, near the burning bush by God Almighty. That Moses, not the Moses from the tribe of Levi. You cannot get too familiar with God. There is no familiar spirit in God's kingdom, in God's congregation. There is only one spirit, the Holy Spirit, that runs the family of God. It's not familiar. Amen? It's very important. So now, the last and important brother Benjamin, and the first king of Israel, King Saul, right? So let's learn how Benjamin was blessed. Genesis 49, verse 27 to 28. Yes, brother.
Benjamin is a ravenous wolf.
Wow.
In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing.
Imagine you are Benjamin, and Israel is blessing you, and he says, my dear Benjamin, you are a ravenous wolf, and in the morning you will devour the prey, and in the night you will divide the spoil. Then the next verse says, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is it. Their father spake unto them and blessed them. What Benjamin would say, you bless me? Oh, you really bless me now? Calling me as a wolf is the greatest blessing that can ever happen in my life. He called him as a wolf. And the chapter ends, this is how Jacob blessed Benjamin. Ah. So Benjamin must be the happiest man alive. At least for Reuben, there was a good introduction. Firstborn, strength of my excellency. At least there was a hype before he slapped him on the face. But for Benjamin, it was straight. Hello, wolf. Cunning, deceptive wolf. So it was so negative, right, for Benjamin. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Let's see what happens to the wolf.
Verse 12. Of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders.
What happened to the wolf? Where is the wolf now? How come the wolf suddenly became the beloved of the Lord who dwells in the midst of his life? How come? It's wrong. Maybe either Israel is a false prophet, or Moses is a false prophet, or we could not understand, or someone interpret this wrongly. Verse 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. From which land Jeremiah is calling? For why he is calling? For safety or destruction? Who is speaking through Jeremiah? Jeremiah himself or God Almighty? Jeremiah says, if you do not go into captivity, yeah, tell me, I'm hearing, you will perish. For sure, all the 11 tribes who are listening to Jeremiah, whatever he says, it is extremely contradictory to what Moses, Joshua, David, everyone said before him. That is why you cannot get familiar with God. You cannot get used to God's pattern. His mercy, his way of doing things is new. It might be something exactly opposite to what you were expecting. If you are not careful. If you become so stiff, you will be used to the old pattern. But God says, I am old, but my ways are new. So, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the first king of Israel, King Saul, was not an evil man. He was doing fantastic. Everything was good until David came. That's the truth. He was not challenged. He was not jealousy, because there was no one goodly looking like King Saul. He was so above all everyone. So for him it was natural to feel, I'm a king, because he was anointed. He didn't want to become a king. It was Prophet Samuel who called him to be the king. It was not Prophet Samuel who anointed him. It was God Almighty who called Prophet Samuel to anoint king. So King Saul had no role to play in becoming a king of Israel. It was God who appointed him. And he was good looking, he was strong, he was top notch in everything until David comes. The moment David came, King Saul lost his balance. Because he thought, I still have many more years to go, man. Why did you come this time? What if people will love you more than me? What if you will take all the limelight from me? Then God is watching and teaching all of us. That's what happened to the brethren, the 12 tribes of Israel. They wanted to be the 12. They never wanted to be the one. Joshua divided the land to unite the people. People divided the land to remain divided. It's a curse, which was a blessing, supposed to be a blessing. So now, the one who was the last was the first to become the king. Amen? And the way Benjamin was blessed is so beautiful. And you should never forget, Joseph cried when he saw his brother Benjamin. That much love. The tribe of Benjamin represents the characteristics that is coming from the father Benjamin. Every tribe, they have the characteristics. So it's all being passed down to generations after generations. That is why God identified them by the tribe. Tribe of Judah, tribe of Benjamin, tribe of, you know, Manasseh, Ephraim, Joseph. So all of them. But this wolf, my dear brethren, beautifully changed to beloved of the Lord. And the Lord says, love thy enemies. If one of my son who was called as a ravening wolf, if he can become such a beautiful vessel of blessing, why can't you? And here, this Judah, the word lion, it remains. Correct? Because lion of Judah must come. So, we have a word lion, we have a word wolf. And wolf with Benjamin, lion with Judah. Who tried to kill King David? Saul? Saul from where? Benjamin? Am I correct? King Saul was like a ravening wolf searching for David to kill him. David, although he was a lion, but he was a cub, not a grown-up lion. He was hiding, waiting for God's time, waiting for God's time. But when he became the king, he became the lion, like a lion. Nobody could stand against him. The one who despised the death of King Saul, he thought David would celebrate with me. And David killed them. How dare you to speak evil of God's anointed? People could not understand David. He was trying to kill you. What is that to you? God is in control of my life. The wisdom that David demonstrated was so deep until he saw Bathsheba. So everyone had a U-turn. There was a character that toppled the train. Saul was doing good, David came, Saul became unbalanced. David was doing good, Bathsheba came, David became unbalanced. Correct? Everyone. So now, these four different sets of blessings from two different leaders, Jacob and Moses. But there is time in between which changed the people. So if you look at this very carefully, God did not change. People fell, then they restored before the time when Moses could bless them with the words of life. There was a restoration. Amen? There was a restoration happened in between. If there was no restoration, they could not get the blessings. They fell into a deep pit of valley. They rebounded, restored. And that took some time. And that time, God called it as good captivity. Throw them in Egypt. Let them multiply. Because if they continue to live with this curse from Jacob, they cannot survive. How can they survive? But you know how come they were able to overcome this? Book of Ezekiel says, if the father is righteous, son is wicked, the Lord says, I will judge the son for the wickedness. If the father is wicked, son is righteous, I will save the son for the righteousness. God says, I will separate. So, these words were spoken to one person. One person. But this verse was spoken for tribe. Group of people. They became a generation. So, do you see any evil word in what Moses spoke? Do you see? Can I say zero? Because Moses truly blessed them. He truly blessed them. Any evil word? Urim Tumim, voice of Judah, hand of Judah, land, head, crown, glory, beloved of the Lord. No evil words. And Moses died, the next chapter. Before that, Moses blessed them. Imagine, Moses says, I want to bless you, but I feel very sleepy, you know. But if I sleep today, tomorrow I will die, you know. And what the 12 tribes will say? Moses, I will make you tea, or I will do whatever you want. Just stay awake, speak the word before you die. Why? There is no one can bless the people of Israel. You know, sometimes we feel so confident to the point whereby you can even speak against the one who baptized you. Have you ever considered that? apostles baptized the people in the book of Acts, correct? First church age, second church age. So God used the apostles to baptize his children. Amen? Now listen to me very carefully. Prophet Samuel anointed King Saul, King David. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good. Apostle Peter baptized person A, person B. Good. What's the difference? Tell me what's the difference. If I give you a chance, how will you prorate this? Which one you will give rank 1, rank 2? If you tell me King anointed rank 1, Saul baptized rank 2, that is Babylon, that is darkness, that is hypocrisy. The Spirit of God is the constant between both. The anointing is the constant between both. A man in the flesh is constant between both the events. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A king who is anointed by a man, by this leading of the Spirit of God, and a soul that is baptized by an apostle filled with the Holy Ghost, what's the difference? Same Spirit, same God, same blessing, same anointing. One was called to serve, one also called to serve. But what do you want now? I want to see a big army, some chariot, then I'll feel more grand. My brethren, if the kingdom of Saul was divided for renting the clothes of Prophet Samuel, who anointed him, who ordained him, all the seven church ages, all the souls who were baptized by apostles, ministers of God, if those souls rebelled against them, what's the difference between them and Korah? What's the difference between them and King Saul? None. The vessel that was used to anoint you, to baptize you, to bless you, if our flesh was deceived so deeply to speak against the very same vessel which the Lord used to baptize you and anoint you, then you have gone Babylon. You fell miserably in the captivity. We can say disappointment, frustration, anger. My brethren, when you hold the word is a sword. Amen? And that sword will point towards your face. Every time I take the Bible, I always feel I'm not holding the sword like this. I'm holding the sword like this. It points to my heart, to pierce my heart, for me to be pruned. Not to use the enemy, you want to come and attack me, I will take Psalm 91, you know. I will swing Psalm 91. When you swing, you will cut yourself. Because the sword will cut you first. The way God dealt the Old Testament is extremely serious. And he dealt everything from the vessel he used as the point of anointing, as a source of anointing. And judgment passed from him, blessing passed from him, curse passed from him. Because why? The anointing oil of Aaron flows from top to the bird until the feet, the garment, not from bottom to top. Now, remember this, because that has a huge role to play in what we are going to see in the life of Jeremiah. So now, do not forget Jeremiah is a prophet. So now we have four characters, right? So now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We finished until verse 16, I believe, last time when I finished part 3. I want to read verse 16 again. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. So worship the works of their own hands. I want you all to remember this verse. It's a very serious crime in the sight of God. People who worship the work of their very own hands. And irony is, and we still say, I have the mind of Christ. Hand cannot work without the mind, which means the work was done by the mind, not by the hand. So now, Jeremiah is going to start his ministry of pushing people to captivity. Am I correct? He is going to push them, provoke them. But his intention was not to provoke them. His intention was to speak for the safety. But when he speaks, those who obey, they will be able to find the shelter of safety. Those who disobey, they will be provoked to anger. Because Jeremiah is a trap. Trap of blessing, trap of curse. Trap of judgment, trap of safety. One single vessel who is going to fulfill everything, and a fire devourer goes before him. Because he's a trap. What is the worst thing that can happen to Herodias? To kill John the Baptist. And she did that. Imagine she wanted to kill him and John the Baptist escaped. Good, right? Now Herodias, I can't call her, you are a murderer. Because she escaped. But she didn't escape. That's the worst thing that can happen to Herodias. To do what she wanted to do. So now remember this and read verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confirm thee before them. So the Lord says, if you are overwhelmed and scared because of those people, I will consume you before them. What Jeremiah would say, can I resign from the job now? Because he's still not hired yet, right? The discussion is going on from the employer, the Father in heaven. He's hiring Jeremiah, explaining him the job requirements. And he says, I will consume you before the people to whom I'm sending you to serve. Very fierce the words of the Lord. But if you read it with love, Jeremiah, people will try to come and kill you. They will try to come and stone you to death. They will say so many things, but don't be scared. I'm with you. Do not misplace the fear of God with fear of men. If you do so, I will consume you before you, before them, and I'm warning you now from day one. Jeremiah says, Lord, thank you for being honest with me. Because God did not say this to the two sons of Aaron. He burned them. Correct? He burned them, right? In the holy place, because they offered strange fire. But for Jeremiah, a beautiful warning is given. I will consume you before them if you disobey my word, if you are overwhelmed by their faces. Verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a different city. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the word we start the sermon today? Cities of refuge. But the Lord has another name called, I will make thee. Who? The person? A defensed city, which means it is protected, surrounded, shielded by the word of God, not the hands of men. Because God said, I will make thee a defense city. I will make this day a defense city. I have made thee this day. The Lord said, today is the day I have made thee this day a defense city. Everyone who listens to the words you speak, who obeys it, they will enter into the defense city and the avenger of blood cannot find them. Why? They obey. Because Isaiah says, if you trust and obey, you will eat the good of the land. If you disobey, you will be devoured by the sword. So now, and an iron pillar and a brazen wall against the whole land. Defense city, iron pillar, brazen wall. Against the whole land. For what? Why against the whole land? I thought for the whole land. The Lord says, against the whole land, the very same land Joshua divided. Against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, not the kings of Babylon, not the kings of Ammonites, not the kings of Egypt or Persia or, you know, Greek or all the different kingdoms. But the Lord says, my very own kings. I am sending you to my very own kings and go speak against them. Which father will do that? The Father in heaven will do that. He will turn the father and mother, husband and wife, daughter and son, in-law and father-in-law. He will turn one against another until they come to the stature of Christ by being the brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing else. He is turning him against his very own people. And he says, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. I want you all to focus on the words. God identifies people with four different categories. Starting from kings, princes, priests, people. Correct? Kings, because God has categorized them, kings, the children of the kings become princes, priests. There are no priests if there are no people. So, people are those who are being served by the priest. And princes, they have power over the priest, what they should do. But only the priest, they can offer sacrifices. Amen? The reason why I show these four categories, the Bible is unwavering, so precise. And these four will continue in the same sequence throughout the book of Jeremiah. Kings, princes, one category. Priest, people, one category. What the New Testament teaches? Holy nation, royal priesthood. Kings and saints, spiritual priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone. Amen? The way the Lord called all of us. So now, verse 19. Verse 19 is very comforting and giving assurance to Jeremiah. My son Jeremiah, yes Lord, they shall fight against thee. Lord, they are my family. They are my God's people. Yes, I know. They shall fight against thee. You know how painful it is for Jeremiah to hear this. I'm in the promised land, land of Benjamin, Anathoth. And you're telling me you will set me as a defense city against all the lands of Israel, all the kings of Judah, priests, princes, and they will fight against me. One man, God says, yes. Everyone will fight against you, one man, because he was the only vessel through whom God can fulfill his promises. And God says, I used Moses, I used Samuel, now I'm using you, Jeremiah. So, and the Lord says, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. What a beautiful prophecy given to Jeremiah by God himself. I am with thee. The Lord did not say, I will strengthen thee, I will heal thee, I will exalt thee, I will make you look beautiful. The Lord did not say, forget about everything. I am with thee. The same what he told to Abraham, my presence will go before thee. The same he said to Moses, my presence will go before thee. And he told Joshua, no man shall stand against thee. But when he told Joshua, he was referring to enemies. Because Joshua was up against the enemies. He had to overcome all the wars. But when he spoke about Jeremiah, he says, your very own family will stab you in the back. Correct? Betrayal. Prophet Jeremiah, he had gone through something that was very different from Prophet Samuel and all other leaders in the past. They were facing enemies outside. Jeremiah was hated by the people inside. Same happened to who? Surprise. Anyone remember this man? Joseph. There was no enemies against him. His very own brethren. All 11 turned against him. So now, verse 19 marks God's sealing upon Jeremiah. Because God tells Jeremiah, they will fight against you. But don't worry. They will not prevail against you. Do you remember similar incident? Joshua goes for the battle. Amalekites are fighting. Every time Moses lowered his hands, Amalekites prevail against Joshua. As long as Moses keeps his hands lifted up, Joshua prevailed against Amalekites. And Joshua overcome the battle because Moses was supported by Aaron on one side, Hur on another side. And here God tells, don't worry, I'm with thee. No one will prevail against thee. Why? He's a prophet. Jeremiah is a prophet. God needs him to speak, which means God will do everything it takes to confound everything around him so that Jeremiah could not get killed until he finished his work. Amen? Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Chapter 1 is beautiful. So now, let's go to book of Joshua. Chapter 20, we finished until the cities of refuge, right? So let's continue from Joshua chapter 20, verse 9, I believe. We read until verse 6. Okay, please read, brother. From verse 7, Joshua chapter 20, from verse 7 to verse 9 first. Verse 7 to verse 9.
So they anointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer, in the wilderness of the plain, on the plain, from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead, from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, from the tribe of Manasseh. And these are the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the vengeance of blood until he stood before the congregation.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Imagine Moses is alive in this time. He would be thinking, if I had such a city of refuge when I killed the Egyptian soldier, I could have found a city of refuge. But he had to run to a wilderness, right? So Moses could not enjoy the quota. No, that was not given to him. He had to go to a wilderness, the biggest city of refuge, where he was, you know, there for 40 years. But now Joshua is making provision. Six cities, similar to the six water pots of stone, for the imperfection of men. People who kill each other by thoughts, by words, by actions, they can go and find one of the city, find refuge. And here it says, whomsoever killeth any person, verse 9, at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood. What is the meaning of avenger of blood? Someone is restless until he sees the blood in his hand. The book of Proverbs says, the hand that sheds blood, that feet that runs for the mischief, you know, of shedding blood of some brethren. Because your anger is not quenched yet. So the city of refuge is giving you a place of shelter. Not just that, he's also being gracious to the one who is the avenger of blood. Why? Until he finds you, he cannot kill you. Am I correct? If Saul found David, and David was sleeping, and Saul threw the spear, and the spear goes to the head of David, and David is sleeping, snoring, David is gone. If David is gone, then what is the name of Saul? Saul, the killer of David. The murderer of David. Saul, the king slayer. But God did not give him the title. God did not allow him to kill David. You may think God protected David. What about Saul? Who anointed him? Why? So Saul is not precious to God's sight, is it? God is partial? No. God is no respecter of persons. Sometimes we have this mind of flesh that gives hype, that pollutes the purest understanding of God's word. We give our own flavor. He is very important to God. He is not. There is no such thing in God's sight. He is the creator of all. He is focusing on one single sole purpose, redemption of his children. They fell. He is redeeming them. And he will do whatever it takes. He will do whatever it takes. So now, here it says, the hand of the avenger of the blood until he stood before the congregation. The Lord says, there is a time for everything. He is mindful of the time. He is perfect time. So now, chapter 21, begin the cities of tribe of Levi. So I will read the first 8 verses. Verse 1, then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest. So remember, the previous chapter says, until the high priest dies, the one who finds shelter in the city of refuge cannot go to his own house. Amen? True. Who is your high priest? Who died for us on the cross? Where we were hiding before? What is your own house? What is your own land? This land? The house that you have paid to the bank that is also rental for 99 years? Is it your land? Is it your house? Eternity, the blessed promised rest of my Lord, the builder and maker of the mansions where I am called to be the God's husbandry. I will dwell in the mansion that God built for me. But until my Savior died for me and he shed the blood for me, how can I go to my house? Because I'm a sinner. My mother conceived me in sin. All have sinned, fell short of the glory of the Lord. We are all finding shelter, not in the cities of refuge, in the rock of refuge, Jesus Christ. We hide in him, in the cleft of the rock. That's why I wanted to sing the song. He hideth me in the cleft of the rock. Like those people who made mistakes, who committed sin, they were hiding in the cities of refuge. But for me, there is a city. There is only one city. City of peace, Jerusalem. The new city, Holy Jerusalem. The Lord has called all of us to be hidden in His mighty shadow wings. Amen? So now, remember this and read verse 1. It says, the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. So the tribes of the children of Israel. So from here, I mentioned 4, but there are 8 more. We will compare them next time when we have time. But among these 4, Moses is from Levi. Praise the Lord. David is from Judah. Solomon is from Judah. Josiah is from Judah. Jesus is from Judah. Praise the Lord. Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, case closed. Joseph said, come on, my legacy should continue. Lord says, enough, you had your quota. Genesis, you are the superhero. No, just be content. Ephraim, Manasseh, not much sound, you know, after that. Case closed. Silenced. Benjamin was silenced for a while, but the very first king, King Saul, from Benjamin. And now Jeremiah, from the land of Benjamin. And even the current leader of the important land of the whole earth, Israel, his name is Benjamin. So beautiful. What a time that we live in. So now we read verse 2. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. Cattle? What about people? So the suburbs for cattle, cities for them to dwell. Do you understand? Suburbs for cattle to go and find pasture, cities for people to build house and live. And verse 3, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And the Lord came out for families of Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah and out of the tribe of Simeon. Simeon. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim and out of the tribe of Dan and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. So 10 plus 13, 23. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. 26. Now 13. Now we have 39. And, yeah, so, 13, 23, and 36. Verse 7. The children of Merari by their families had out of the tribe of Reuben and out of the tribe of Gad and out of the tribe of Zebulun 12 cities. So total 48 cities, which is called cities of Levites. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. But it was done by Joshua. But the Lord says, no, forget about that. Commanded by the hand of Moses. Executed by the hand of Joshua. Now, let's go and find Anathoth now. Brother Clement, please read this for us from verse 9 to verse 19. Look at these cities and you please be prepared with the map. Yes, brother, please.
So they gave from the tribe of the children of Judah and from the tribe of the children of Simeon these cities which are designated by name.
Amen.
Which were for the children of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, who were the children of Levi, for the lot of was theirs first. And they gave them Kirjath Arba. Arba was the father of Anak, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, with the common land surrounding it. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Judah, Jephunneh, as his possession. Thus, to the children of Aaron, the priests, they gave Hebron with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer. Libna with its common land. Jatter with its common land. Ashmoor with its common land. Holon with its common land. Debir with its common land. Ain with its common land, Juta with its common land, and Beth Shabeth with its common land. 9 cities from those 2 tribes. And from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its common land, Geba with its common land, Anath with its common land, and Almon with its common land. 4 cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron the priest were 13 cities with their common land.
Amen. Please be seated, brother. Verse 18. The King James captured this more accurately because the land was considered as a woman. In the New King James, you would be seeing its suburbs. But in the King James, you would see it as, and hold on, with her suburbs. Her. The land always portrayed as a woman in the scripture. Amen. Because the land must bring forth the fruit, which represents womb and a child. The land was never compared when we talk about harvest or a fruitful promises. The land becomes a woman. So the city is called Holon with her suburbs and Debir with her. With her. That is what you see throughout the city's representation. But look at verse 18. Anathoth with her suburbs and Almon with her suburbs, 4 cities. So this is where Anathoth comes. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 1 says, he is the son of the priest Hilkiah from the land of Benjamin in the city of Anathoth. Now, what is Anathoth? That belongs to the children of Aaron. Aaronites. So now please show the first image, please. The map that I have, territory of Anathoth. Yes. So I took this image, which was prepared in 1869, that shows the territory of Benjamin. I hope you all can see. So Anathoth is here. I put the name at the center, which is part of the city of Levi's. The red circle represents the few cities among the 48 cities. Okay? And Anathoth is one of them. But Anathoth was not part of city of refuge. Do you hear me? The city of refuge is different. That is 6 different cities. So now, Jeremiah is actually between Jericho and Jerusalem, correct? Jericho is on top, Jerusalem is below, and Anathoth is in between. And on the left side, you have the city of Dan, the land of Dan. And the right side, you have the land of Judah. And the whole picture actually covers the territory of Benjamin. And on the right side, you see the Dead Sea goes all the way to the Sea of Galilee. The beautiful, like a narrow path. Now, Joshua chapter 21 focuses on 48 cities, 13 for Aaronites, 13 for Gershonites, 10 for Kohathites, and 12 for Merarites. So Anathoth is one among the 13 cities in the top, correct? The significance of Aaron. Do you see now the significance of High Priest Aaron? Even John the Baptist, the mother Elizabeth, is from who? She is called the daughter of Aaron. Thank you, brother. God bless you. So this is Anathoth, and this is Jericho, and this is Judah, and here we have Jerusalem. And this is the link between the Dead Sea all the way go to the Sea of Galilee at the bottom. We will see in the next map. But what you see here is, how come the name Aaron, is so constant in the scripture? Children of Aaron, Aaronites, and Jeremiah is actually calling from the land of Anathoth, which was given to Aaronites. Okay? Same as Elizabeth, who is also called the daughter of Aaron, from whom John the Baptist came. So now let's please remember, this I won't read this today, but remember this. Numbers 35 is where God commands Moses to establish the cities for Levites. Joshua 20 is where God tells Joshua to establish city of refuge. Joshua appointed cities of refuge. God told Moses to establish cities for Levites. Remember this. Amen. So now, please go to the next one. So this is the small narrow path I was referring to, from Dead Sea all the way to the Galilee. And Anathoth was here. Last time we played the video, this time no need. Please go to the next one. So now, this is what I mentioned in the last sermon. The 12 sons of Jacob from different mothers, different wombs. From, for instance, from the land of Leah, Reuben. From the land of Bilhah, Dan. From the land of Zilpha. From the land of Rachel, Joseph. So I have highlighted these four characters in the same color so that you see yellow for Levi, blood, that is the color of red, for Judah, for Jesus, and Joseph, purple, who represent the salvation in the Old Testament, and Benjamin, who plays a role like an intermediator, like a bridge of some fulfillment as a younger brother of Joseph. In the blessing sequence, Israel blessed them in this fashion, but Moses blessed them in a different sequence. But Judah, Levi, Benjamin, Joseph, they were bundled when Moses blessed them. He brought them together. But when Israel blessed them in a way it was supposed to be. But when Moses blessed them, he had the tribes in front of him. He knows what Judah will do, what Levi will do, and what Benjamin will do, and what Joseph will do. Because kingdoms will come after that. So he blessed them in this sequence. So now these four are the ones that we see here. Amen? I start with Levi because Moses is from Levi. From Judah because Solomon, David from Judah. Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, King Saul. And we have a land and a thoth. And this land given to Aaronite. And this is where Jeremiah is speaking. Amen? So we can stop here now. So now, there are so much things I prepared for today, but I believe we will bring it to the next time. Now, remember, I always mention this, the meanings of God's servant's name is very important because God named them. Amen? What's the meaning of Jeremiah? Anyone remembers? In the first place, his name is not Jeremiah because there is no J in Hebrew. It's only Jeremiah or Eremia. But actually, the perfect, accurate pronunciation is Eremiyahu. Because there is no Yah in that original translation. For example, people say Jehovah, but there is no J in Hebrew. It's Yehovah. But even Yehovah was not the exact representation. It is Yahuha. For Yeshua is Yehovah, we combine. Yahweh is salvation. So Yahweh is salvation, Yeshua. The sonship of God, complete manifestation of God's word. God is in his word in Christ Jesus. Amen? Please follow me. Yahweh is salvation, Yeshua. This is how we are used to. But the accurate translation is Yahuwah and Yahusha. Yahuha is a representation of Yahweh. And Yahusha is a representation of Yeshua. Because we speak multiple languages, different accents, it is not easy for everyone to pick up. People choose whatever is comfortable to them. Now, here, if we bring it to Jeremiah in the same fashion, for example, there is no Jesus, J, there is no J in Hebrew, is Yahusha. Same way Jeremiah was called Yeremiyahu. It means God loosens. The meaning of the name of Eremiyahu. Yahu means what? God's name, right? Yahu. Because I said, Yahuha is Yahweh. So the name of Jeremiah is Eremiyahu. Yahu means represents God, God's name. God loosens, God delivers. And not just that, he has another contrast meaning. God binds. It's so beautiful, the name of Jeremiah has two different extreme meanings. One, God binds. And two, God loosens. But actually, he's referring the same thing because the double-edged sword. God delivers his people and God also keeps his people safe in captive. He binds, he loosens. In this beautiful meaning of Jeremiah, the land Anathoth, from where he's shouting, do you know what is the meaning of Anathoth? It means response. The meaning of the land of Anathoth, it means answering petitions, shouting for answers, screaming for answers, seeking for answers, and that's a response. The land Anathoth represents shouting for response, seeking for answers. And Jeremiah is a prophet. His name means God binds or loosens. Now, what's the father's name of Eremiyahu? Hilkiah. Amen? Hilkiah is the name of Jeremiah's father's name. Do you know the meaning of his name? It means the portion of Yah. Yah. Yah means Yahweh. Yahuha. Portion of Yah. What? When I saw that, I was so blessed to remember the way Joshua divided the land and gave every portion to a particular tribe of Israel, because the land is called the promised land that represents the blessed rest. The Lord is my Sabbath. He divided, and He is the Word of God. We are the parts of the Word. He gave the portion of His faith to all of us, and Joshua gave the portion of the land to the tribes of Israel. And the name of Jeremiah's father is Hilkiah. His meaning is the portion of Yah. God exalts. So now, let's remember this. And I want us to read two verses for today in relation with the word city of refuge. When Saul was about to become the avenger of blood, he was smelling for the blood of David. He wants to kill him. Very similar to Joshua time. Remember what David would say. Let me escape and run into one of the city of refuge. But actually Saul is the king. In Joshua's time there was no king. There was high priest. So that rule is not possible in David's time. Why? As long as high priest died, the man who can hide, he can hide. When the high priest dies, the man, he can go to his own house. But in King Saul's time, King Saul, he became a dictator. He would kill David wherever he sees. He don't follow any books, because he's already outside Prophet Samuel's guidance. He left Prophet Samuel's mentorship. Correct? No rules. Now remember this. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Read this. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I believe this is where Saul was looking to kill David. He escaped two attempts. Yes. Let me read from verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. This itself will confuse many people. How come the Lord can send evil spirit? You will go there. As he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. So Saul was seated with javelin in his hand, which shows he was determined. No, he was well prepared, and he was established in his mind, full of thoughts, purpose to kill David. He knows what he's doing, because he was seated, resting, and David played with his hand. Hand. David from which tribe? Judah. What Moses blessed? Voice of Judah, hand of Judah. Amen. Now the hand of David plays instrument. The hand of David plays an instrument, and it refreshes the soul of Saul. So now, verse 10, Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So David, who killed Goliath, did not dare to fight with Saul, because he sees God's anointing upon Saul, and David escaped. He humbled himself. He did not say, I want to be a superhero. He says, let people call me a coward, and I don't care. All I care is the fulfillment of God's word in my life, not my pride. That is the beauty of David. He was running, not scared, but he was running not to commit a sin. First chapter. Remember how David started the book of Psalm. Remember the verse. It says, David fled and escaped that night, and he slipped away out of Saul's presence, right? Let's turn the Bible to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. How much impact this moment had in David's life, to the point whereby he starts the book of Psalm in this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Indeed, Saul was following ungodly, because the verse says, evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. and nor standeth in the way of sinners, because Saul threw the spear, and that spear was meant for sinners. David did not say, I will stand here. The spear, the javelin will hit my forehead and the javelin will break. Because God is with me, nothing will happen to me. If David thought that, he would have been killed of his own haughty mind. That spear was meant for sinners, and David left the presence of Saul. He fled, he escaped. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He escaped from David. Saul, he could not be seated. But Saul was seated with the javelin in his hand. Seats of scornful. Why? Saul wanted to kill David. That is scornful thought. And the Lord says, do not sit with him. And David ran away from him. Psalm 1, you can see in 1 Samuel chapter 19. The verse, in one single verse that I showed you, you can see the entire chapter of Psalm 1. Chapter 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Actually, David was running day and night, hiding day and night. That is how he meditated on the law of the Lord, day and night, by doing what God wanted him to do. Now go back to 1 Samuel chapter 19. Now, verse 10 says, David fled and escaped that night. Okay, good. Verse 11. And Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. Messengers are called to pass the message, not to watch him and slay him. If they slay him, they are called slayers, right? Am I correct? Why they are called messengers? So slayers, in the old clothing of messengers, to go and watch David and to kill David when they get a chance. So how Israel called his son Benjamin, hello wolf. So the father knows the son, correct? Father knoweth the son. Son honoreth the father. He was rightfully called as a wolf. And Saul sent messengers in the form, actually they are slayers, because if you use the word slay, and to slay him. And what Joshua says, slayer will run into the city of refuge. Correct? And the avenger of the blood will search for him, but the one will be hidden in the city of refuge. Amen? So now look at this. Now, Michal, David's wife, whenever Michal do good things, she will be called David's wife. Whenever she do bad things, she will be called Saul's daughter. Scripture is absolutely beautiful. It never fails to amaze us by identification. Whenever I glorify God, I'm a child of God. Whenever I profane God, I'm a child of war. As simple as that. Michal is a good example of foolish virgin and wise virgin. She's a good example of bride of Christ and Babylon. She can choose. Now she do good things and she's called David's wife, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. Book of Psalm chapter 1. They will meditate day and night. So what David was thinking? Day and night, I must make sure God's fulfillment is intact, preserved in my life. I will run wherever I want. He was meditating by running, escaping. Escaping, John the Baptist said, who told you to escape? God told you to escape. Verse 12, so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. My brethren, what is this window? What is this window? This mysterious window and this city of refuge and this window of escape. Don't think that David was the only beneficiary of such a beautiful window. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn our Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Sorry, chapter 11, please. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Verse 20. I will read from verse 27 to get the full taste of this passage. 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Apostle Paul is reading out his CV, whatever that happened in his life, because of God's work in his life. The burden of the church was upon him. The same way Jeremiah had the burden of the tribes, plural, tribes. Apostle Paul, burden of the churches, plural, very similar. And verse 29, who is weak? And I am not weak, you think I am strong? Apostle Paul says, I am weak. Who is offended? And I burn not, you think you are offended? There are people burning me. Apostle Paul is encouraging people, don't be discouraged. God is with us, God is able. And verse 30 he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Not victories, not miracles, not doctrines. The infirmities that I had endured for God is where I boast my glory. Why? Why God trusted me? He could have trusted someone, but the Lord entrusted me that I will go through without forsaking him. I thank the Lord. He talks about the glory in the fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 31 is beautiful. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. God knows I am not lying. Verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. A city is mentioned. A king is mentioned. An avenger of the blood is mentioned. Saul, you are in danger. Apostle Paul, ready to go inside the tomb. Oh no. Verse 33. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Look at the words. Window, basket, escape, hands, wall. Let's come here. Voice of the Judah, hand of Judah, beloved of the Lord. Here, cities of refuge, and there was a window for David to escape, and there was a window for Apostle Paul to escape. But Apostle Paul was God's servant, filled by Holy Ghost. If he says something, it will happen as it is. That is why Apostle Paul said, what if the apostles decided to exercise the power? But they didn't. Because the time changed, Apostle Paul, his focus was the salvation of souls. Whatever it takes, salvation of souls. Whatever it takes, redemption of souls. Whatever it takes, establishment of churches. Not the glory of his ministry. Not the glory of his name. He don't care. He don't care what people tell about him. He don't care what people spit on him. No, he cares about God's work fulfilled in the souls that are waiting for the salvation. Gentiles, you and me, he escaped through a window. The ship was broken. He had a shipwreck. He jumped from the ship, swam to the shore, preached. A king came to kill him. He escaped through a window, through a basket, like Moses was put into a basket of ark of bulrushes, thrown into a river, safely landed in the hand of the daughter of Pharaoh. And Apostle Paul escaped, same as David escaped by the daughter of Saul. Michal helped David to escape through a window. And Apostle Paul also escaped through a window. My brethren, now imagine these four walls there, right? No, there is no window for us. Good. It's a good example. Imagine some evil people suddenly enters the church and points us some weapon and telling that whoever forsake Jesus Christ can walk away. Whoever do not forsake Jesus Christ must die here. Then that's a test of faith. Then nobody can escape because no windows. So, on that day, our faith will be proved. Who truly believes Jesus Christ? No, we can't say no. Until we are thrown into an experience, you never know who you are. But what if unfruitful, unholy, absolutely meaningless battle comes into a congregation, which is not our battle? The Lord says, oh, my church, fight the battle of Amalekites. Then Philistines come. Oh, this time is to fight the battle of Amalekites. But Philistines come. And what is their purpose? To waste your time. Correct? To waste your time. They are here to waste your time. But God says, my grace is sufficient to thee. Oh, today's world says, oh, I'm getting older. Age is just a number. Have you seen this trend line? Everybody see, age is just a number. Come on, it's a mockery. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. That is for us. For the people, age is just a number. I look young and beautiful as I ever been. But the Lord says, oh, is it? Teach us to number our days. Grace cannot be wasted. It cannot be spilled. The milk cannot be spilled on the floor. So when an unfruitful battle comes in, what you should do? Look for a window to escape. Why? You can't fight. You should not fight. David did not fight. Apostle Paul did not fight. There must be a city of refuge for you to escape. When the avenger of the blood comes, because that avenger of the blood, he did not shed the blood for his salvation. There is one more, the Redeemer, the Savior, who shed his blood for you to be saved. You focus on him. You do not focus on the avenger of the blood. I have seen people in the last 20 years of my little humble experience in the Church of God. People speak about demonic activities, battle of devil, more than celebrating God's angelic divine experiences. They rejoice in overcoming the evil powers. They rejoice in fighting evil this and that. But they spend little time in thinking about the beauty of God's holiness or speaking about God's power. But they always want to be in a battle. Why? They want to feel like superheroes. I fight the battle. Today, Monday, okay, I'll rest. Tuesday, I'll fight. I must fight because I'm a warrior. What do you mean the warrior? You are a warrior to protect your faith, not to fight the devil. If the fight is thrown to you, you go and hit Goliath. If it is not Goliath, then why you are fighting? What I'm saying is, do not choose the battle that is not of God's. Do not enter into a territory that is not the city of refuge. We have to be wise as David and Apostle Paul, who avoided the avenger of the blood. If you really want to go and fight with the avenger of the blood, you can do so. You will waste time. You will waste time. You will despise grace. Now, remember this. The city of refuge was preserving people to stand before the judgment who were all slayers from the avenger of the blood. So now, the Lord whom we serve, He's keeping all of us in a city of refuge, the church, the fellowship, the family of God. Imagine your life without the fellowship, without the shelter of such a refuge. You would have been taken as captive by your avenger of the blood, the serpentine nature, the enemy who is desiring to see the death of your life, the fall of you from grace to disgrace. Everyone is waiting. The whole world is waiting for you to lose the token. If you do not want to lose, you must run and hide, like in the old times, our imperfection, not the cities of refuge, to the one single city, the holy city, the one solid foundation of truth, the rock of refuge, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who dwells in His church, in His congregation, in His family. We are safe and sound here. Do you know what is the window? I would call it as not just window of escape. I should use the word window of hope. You know why? There are times all of us, we were sealed in our mind by the thoughts of some brother or sister or some man or woman or someone in the workplace. You could not find a way out. Last sermon I mentioned different keys to unlock the door. The key of the blood of Christ, thinking about what the Lord said, you open the door to overcome the captivity of your life. But this window is not the gate, it's not a door, it's a window for the flow of wind. Am I correct? That is why it's called window. If you open the window, you will have wind flow. Wind will come into the house. It is not a door for man to enter. So now, every time you are sealed, locked in your mind because of some thought, you should think about the good of that brother, of that sister. You will see a window, you will escape. Everywhere you will see anger and pain and hurt and past. But when you close your eyes and you say, Lord, you are good, God is good, you are the creator, you created me, I'm a bad person, but I still have some good qualities because of you. Likewise, my family, my brothers, my non-believers, workers, colleagues, whoever it is, They are all God's creation. Bring them under the umbrella of God's creation. Then ask yourself, there must be something good in him. There must be something good in her, which is much, much better than me. He or she is much, much better than me in this aspect. Esteem one another above thyself. When you do that, suddenly in the dark room, you will see a window of hope. Your flesh, which was contained by your thoughts and wicked mind, you will escape and you will enjoy the liberty of Christ, which is freedom. Believe in all good things, my dear brethren. If we do not believe in all good things, when Jeremiah speaks, people of Israel kill him. Jeremiah was speaking good, but people could not discern because they were looking for taste, not good. When you have the medicine when you are sick, is it tasty? No. But it is good. But people want sweet, sugar-coated words. That is poison. Jeremiah was giving them medicine as raw as it can be. People could not see the good. They wanted added sugar, more sweet. And Jeremiah could not do that. Because what God said, if you are overwhelmed by the people, by the faces of the people, okay, before their faces, I will consume you. Why? God says, I have taken you as mine. I will do whatever I want. That must be the state of our life, my brethren. That God should do whatever he wants in our life. We should give him that freedom. That, Lord, I am completely surrendered. The word surrendering I mentioned last sermon is for the Lord's will to work freely in our life. For that, God should sit in the throne of your heart. Amen. We will continue next week. Remember these two words. City of refuge, window of escape. That is the title of today's sermon. City of refuge, window of escape. We will continue by God's grace next week. Shalom. May the Lord bless you all. Amen. So I'll pray and close. Our Lord, our God, the strong tower of your name, the rock of offense, the rock of refuge, the city of refuge, the place where we all can be hidden in the mighty wings, O Lord, in the shadow of the terebinth tree. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hiding us from all the dangers, all the harm. And Lord, may you help us to understand that we must learn to escape from the attempts of vanities. We must learn to escape from the attempts of things that will defile and profane the name of the Lord and misuse the grace that we obtain to serve you, O Lord. Grant us, Lord, the discernment and wisdom to understand how you used Prophet Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah. How you used him and for the what purpose you used him. And against your very own people, O Lord, because they turned from their calling. They turned against the perfect will of God. Lord, you had to push them to captivity. And Lord, here we are, O Lord, we are all standing in thy holy presence. May you push all of us inside the doorpost that is applied by the blood of Christ. There is no other city of refuge. There is no other house of refuge. There is no other safe haven. There is no other strong tower. There is no divine shelter other than the house that is shut with the blood of Christ. May you bless us, Lord. There could be a lot of avengers of blood can come and try to destroy us, but the light of my Savior, the blood of my Savior that is standing as a flaming sword in the doorpost of my house, of my congregation, of my church, O Lord, this is where we shall dwell. In the house of the Lord we shall dwell continually, O Lord. The Bible says Joshua departed not from the tabernacle of God because the tabernacle of God did not depart from Joshua. It's the word of God that dwells in us. It's a living word that is working in us effectively, O Lord. Bless one another, O Lord. We are all the family of God, united by the blood of Christ. Let that be a window of hope. Let that be a window of light. Let that be a window of healing. Let that be a window of refuge. Let that be a window of escape. Let that be a window of restoration. Let that be a window of renewal for all of us to enjoy the gentle breeze of the Holy Ghost to go from north to east and west to south. Because, O Lord, you can do things that the human mind cannot comprehend, O Lord. May you bless us, Lord, to learn from Joshua, Aaron, Judah, Joseph, Levi, Benjamin, and all the wonderful, wonderful tribes of Israel and the names of God's servants. Help us, Lord, to understand how you deal with the land and how you deal with the tribe and how you deal with the church. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom. God bless you all.